لبیک 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 خام نائی، لبیک 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 خام نائی، لبیک 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 خام نائی، لبیک 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 خام نائی.
Before we get into the final stages of our program, I would request each and every one of you to please fill up the seats and the chairs next to you. There are a lot of Mominins in the back who are waiting to be seated, and they're under the impression that we do not have any empty spaces. So please kindly fill up the spaces right next to you or ahead of you.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
اللہ اکبر خانہ رہبر.
Next we would like to put a video message from a very highly regarded scholar named Zafar Bangash. Zafar Bangash is noted as an Islamic movement journalist and commentator in Toronto, Canada. Bangash is a director of Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought and president of Islamic Society of York Region, a suburb of Toronto. He is the imam at Islamic Society of York Region's Mosque and Community Center in Richmond Hill, Ontario. He is former editor of Crescent International News magazine and a trustee and formerly assistant director of the Muslim Institute London, where he worked with Dr. Kaleem Siddiqui, the founder of Muslim Institute and the leader of Muslim Parliament of Great Britain. He is also a co-founder of Muslim Unity Group. With your loudest salawat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina وحبيبنا وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحاب المنتجبين. Committed Muslims, brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before I share a few words with you with respect to the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, I would like to congratulate each and every one of you present here tonight in this program to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. Programs like these have occurred, they have taken place in the last week or 10 days all over the world. Of course, in the Islamic Republic, they celebrate the 10 days of dawn, as they are called. As they, in Persian, they say Dahe Fajr, the 10 days, which obviously is a reference to the 10 days of struggle in which the Islamic movement led by Imam Khomeini Rahimullah was successful in demolishing the last vestiges of the decrepit Shah's regime, who had already fled Iran on January the 16th, but the remnants of his regime were still present, and it was these last 10 days in which the Islamic movement under the charismatic leadership of Imam Khomeini was able to demolish that old order and to usher in a new Islamic system of governance. This was a very momentous event in contemporary Islamic history. Momentous because there had been other attempts made by Muslims in different parts of the world there had been Islamic political parties that had tried to bring about change in their societies, but they had not succeeded. In fact, if we go back a little bit into history and to the time in the last 60 or 70 years when a number of so-called independent Muslim nation states emerged on the world map, these so-called independent Muslim nation states were not really independent. They continued the colonial order in their societies that had been imposed by the colonial masters. And then Muslim armies repeatedly suffered horrendous defeats. I will mention only two. In June 1967, Arab nationalist armies led by Jamal Abdul Nasser and others in that region were beaten badly in what is referred to as the Six-Day War against the Zionist invading army. So it took the Zionist army only 6 days to demolish the combined armies of the Arab world. In December of 1971, the invading Indian army not only defeated the Pakistan army in what was formerly East Pakistan and today is Bangladesh, but 90,000 Pakistani soldiers, all of them Muslims, also surrendered to the invading Hindu army. It was in these grim circumstances, when Muslims had faced repeated defeats and failures, that the Islamic Revolution in Iran came as a ray of hope, as a lightning in the entire darkness that had engulfed Muslims. We need to understand what is the secret of success of the Islamic Revolution and the failure of other similar movements, Islamic movements that is, that I'm referring to. One of the most crucial factors in the success of any movement is the emergence of muttaqi, charismatic leadership. Leadership is so essential for the success of any movement that without that proper leadership, regrettably, Muslims would not be able to achieve success anywhere. And we shall see shortly examples of lack of leadership and therefore the failures of Muslims as we proceed with our discourse today. Leadership has to be courageous, it has to be muttaqi, it has to be charismatic, because it has to inspire the masses. And in any struggle, great sacrifices are required, and unless and until the leadership is able to inspire the masses to give those sacrifices, I'm afraid that movement will not achieve success. Number two, the leadership must have a clear understanding of the prevailing situation in which the movement is operating. Unless and until there is clarity of understanding and thought, regrettably, movements can be subverted. And this is again something that we have witnessed in recent years in many places such as Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, Libya, etc. Number three, the leadership of the movement must give a clear directional course as to where is it that they want to go. When we look at these three characteristics, we find that these characteristics were present in all of them were present and many more in Imam Khomeini Rahimullah. He was charismatic, he was inspirational, he was clear about what he wanted to achieve, he could inspire people because he was self-sacrificing, and he was courageous. Number two, he clearly understood that the system that exists in Iran is illegitimate. And he was simply not prepared to enter into any compromises with that system. And number three, he was absolutely clear as to where he wanted to go. And he wanted to establish the Islamic state in Iran, and that is what Imam Khomeini set out to do, and that is what he achieved. Now compare that to the situation in recent years in places like Egypt and Tunisia, etc. Although the Muslim masses in these countries offered great sacrifices, but since the leadership was not clear in what they wanted to achieve, we can see the pathetic results that have come about both in Tunisia as well as in Egypt. In fact, Egypt is a much more sad situation, because one would have expected or thought that the Ikhwan al-Muslimun would be able to show the kind of understanding that is required of a genuine Islamic movement. The reason that the Ikhwan failed in Egypt was because they did not clearly and correctly analyze the prevailing situation in that society. They compromised with that order, with the result that within a year, the Ikhwan were thrown out of power and the military dictatorship came back into Egypt. So when we compare these recent situations with what the Imam had achieved, we can clearly see that the Imam was way above in his understanding of any of these other movements that came even after his movement, and that these other movements should have been able to learn from his example, and yet they failed to learn. When a genuine Islamic state is established, that Islamic state deals with the world on its own terms. In fact, we see that after 35 years of relentless hostility against the Islamic Republic of Iran, even Barack Obama was forced to send Nowruz messages to the Islamic Republic. Now, that's quite a change in the attitude of the arrogant imperialist power that tends to bully other countries and other rulers. And yet, when it came to the case of Iran, this imperialist bully realized that the Islamic Republic cannot be bullied, that the US also has to deal with it on an equitable and fair basis. Although we do not expect fairness from this bully, but what we do expect and see is that they have come to terms with the reality of the Islamic Republic of Iran. That despite all of their efforts to try to undermine the Islamic Republic, despite all of their hostilities for 35 years, they have failed to bring down the Islamic government in Iran. And we will look at some of the challenges that the Islamic Republic has had to face. But the fact is that even the staunchest enemies of the Islamic State have now had to accept that the Islamic Republic and the Islamic State of Iran is here to stay. This is a remarkable achievement of the late Imam Khomeini as well as the current leadership of the Rahbar Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And we as Muslims can be truly proud of the fact that we are living at a time when we have witnessed and are witnessing the first contemporary Islamic state in our lives. This is a great honor for all of us, and we should celebrate as much of it as possible. But at the same time, we should also reflect on some of the challenges as well as some of the achievements that the Islamic Republic of Iran has made in all of these years. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the committed Muslims, نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Subhanallah, just think about this, that Allah's help is coming. When there is Allah's help with the committed Muslims, then victory is near. Nasrum min Allah, help from Allah, and wafathun qareeb, with the help from Allah, victory is absolutely near. And Allah says, wabashshir al-mu'mineen, and give these glad tidings to the committed Muslims. But if we reflect on it a little further and reflect on the ayats that come prior to this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges us when he says, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a very special category of people. Allah doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal lazina aslamu. He says, Ya ayyuhal lazina amanu. Because Allah is addressing those covenant-bearing Muslims, Muslims that have accepted the covenant of Allah and are prepared to uphold that covenant. And Allah is saying that, O you covenant-bearing Muslims, O you who have made a faith commitment to Allah, let me offer you a deal. A deal that would save you from the great torment. And what is that deal? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. That you make a firm commitment to Allah and His Messenger, and you strive and struggle in the way of Allah, first with your wealth and your possessions, and then with your lives. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us immediately to sacrifice our lives. He's asking us to sacrifice some of the possessions that we have in this dunya, which incidentally are an amana from Allah. They don't belong to us. I think we should be clear about this point as committed Muslims, that whatever we possess in this dunya is not ours. I don't think we should get puffed up about this. These are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And we should be grateful to Allah to have bestowed these blessings upon us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, that if you strive and struggle in the way of Allah and His Messenger with your wealth and possessions and then with your lives, then He gives us this glad tiding that victory will come to us. And we see in the case of the Islamic Republic of Iran, inspired by the leadership of Imam Khomeini Rahimullah, that the people of Iran strived with their wealth as well as with their lives. They offered their lives by the hundreds of thousands. In fact, throughout the year of the revolution, an estimated 80,000 people were martyred. It's an astronomically high figure. Even when the revolution succeeded, there were many serious challenges that the Islamic Republic faced. There was the internal sabotage by the Munafiqeen as well as other groups, the monarchists and communists and others. Many leading figures of the revolution were martyred. The president, the prime minister, chief justice, members of parliament, leading ulama, many of them were martyred. In fact, in a brutal campaign, more than 1,200 leading figures of the revolution were martyred. Yet, the depth of the revolution was so great, the support for the revolution among the masses was so great that despite these very serious losses, the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic stood firm. In addition to this internal sabotage, a full-scale invasion was launched against the Islamic Republic in September of 1980 from Iraq. But it wasn't Iraq alone that had attacked the Islamic Republic. Iraq was backed by all of these Arab regimes, these illegitimate Arab regimes in the Middle East. And behind them were all the imperialist powers, whether in Europe or America. They gave the illegitimate Saddam's regime billions of dollars in aid. They gave him weapons, they gave him chemical weapons, they gave him planes and tanks and intelligence data, everything that they could throw at the Islamic Republic. Yet, the Islamic Republic stood rock solid, all alone, making enormous sacrifices. Yet, they withstood that aggression from abroad. We can see parallels of this in the early Islamic history. When the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the first Islamic state in Medina, it wasn't left in peace. There were repeated attacks by the mushrikeen to destroy the Islamic state that was established in Medina under the leadership of the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anytime a genuine Islamic state is established in any society, it can be sure, and its leadership can be sure, that they will be attacked by the enemies of Islam, because the enemies of Islam, whether they are represented by nationalistic regimes or imperialist regimes or Zionist regimes, clearly understand that it is and only Islam that would challenge their hegemony as well as their exploitative policies. Now, these are the challenges that the Islamic Republic faced. But because the Muslim masses of Iran were solidly behind the revolution as well as the Islamic Republic has been able to withstand all of these challenges. But I believe that as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, we need to talk about its achievements as well. As I said, no doubt, it has had to face many challenges. But despite all of these challenges, the achievements of the Islamic Republic are absolutely phenomenal. The Islamic Republic has made great strides in the scientific and technological fields. Even in space technology, the Islamic Republic of Iran has put its own satellite into orbit that puts us in the league of 5 or 6 countries in the world, and the only Muslim country in the world to have put its own satellite into space. Second, the Islamic Republic is one of few countries in the world that has produced its own drone planes, these pilotless drones. The Islamic Republic today is manufacturing its own aircraft, civilian as well as military. It has made its own ships. It has made its own submarines. It has built its own tanks, and all kinds of other scientific achievements that it has succeeded in. But it's not only in the scientific arena that the Islamic Republic has made great strides. There are other fields, and I particularly want to mention this aspect of women's rights. In the West, a big deal is made about women's rights, and a lot of Muslim countries are put on the defensive when they are told that they exploit their women and they oppress their women. This is obviously certainly true in countries like Saudi Arabia, where they don't even allow them to drive cars. But that is certainly not the case in the Islamic Republic of Iran. You know, during the Shah's time, he claimed that he was giving rights to the women and that women were now being liberated because the chador was removed from their heads, as if removing the hijab or chador from a woman's head is going to liberate her. Just like in the West, women in Iran were leading to a status of exploitation by men under the Shah's regime. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, women were given their dignity and honor that was their due. But I want to share with you a couple of examples of the great strides that women have made in the Islamic Republic of Iran. At the time of the Shah, the rate of literacy among women was 17%, 1-7. Despite all the tall claims that they had been liberated, that they had been given their rights. Today, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the literacy rate among women in Iran is more than 80%. 80%. That is one of the highest figures in the Muslim world. In fact, in certain faculties in universities, faculty of medicine as well as education, women students outnumber men students. Female students are anything from 54 to 56% in medicine and educational faculties at Iran's universities compared to male students. That's the kind of progress that they have made. In Iran today, there are nearly 110 female editors of newspapers and magazines. We challenge anybody, even those prattling about women's rights in the West, to tell us whether they can show any example of this kind in the US, in Britain, in France, in Canada, or any other of these Western countries that are so gung-ho about women's rights. When they talk about women's rights, what they really mean is that they want to expose their women so that men can exploit them. It's not women's rights. What they are talking about is women's exploitation. When a woman is properly covered, it does not mean that she is being exploited. What it means is that she is being restored her dignity and that she is being treated as a human being and not as a sex commodity, which is regrettably what is happening to women in the West. So, in the Islamic Republic of Iran, women have achieved great things in life and they will achieve a lot more. Because Islam restores their dignity and their honor. Now I want to come to some of the contemporary challenges that not only the Islamic Republic of Iran but committed Muslims everywhere face these days. And that is the issue of sectarianism. This phenomenon of takfiris that has arisen in certain parts of the Muslim world. We need to understand that there is a systematic campaign underway to divide Muslims. Although, according to a recent survey carried out by worldpublicopinion.org, they found, and this survey was incidentally conducted in 114 countries around the world, they found that at least 67% of the Muslims want unity in the Ummah. They don't want divisions. And yet we know that there are certain forces that wish to divide Muslims along sectarian lines. And it becomes incumbent upon us, those who are truly committed to Islam, those who are in the Islamic movement, those who are striving for peace and justice in the world, that we should confront this phenomenon. Last month, that is January, from 17th to the 19th of January, there was an international unity conference organized in Tehran. There were 300 foreign guests from 58 countries that participated in that conference. There were 3 days of deliberations, leadership of the Islamic Republic, as well as other scholars addressed various sessions of the conference. To my mind, I believe that the highlight, in addition to the speech by the rahbar Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. To my mind, the highlight of that conference was the final session in which the communique of the conference, the outcome of the conference was proclaimed. It consisted of 18 points. I'll just share only two of them with you, which I believe are extremely important for our life today. The first was that the conference, comprising of Sunni and Shia scholars, openly and categorically stated that no Muslim should call another Muslim a kafir. that it is forbidden in Islam to hurl these kinds of allegations against each other. Number two, and I believe that this is something that all of us should keep in mind, particularly those of you that follow the Jafari school of thought, because regrettably there are some people within the Jafari school of thought that tend to vilify either the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or some of his companions. This conference in Tehran, comprising of Shia and Sunni scholars and endorsed by the leadership of the Islamic Republic, categorically stated that there should be no insults and no negative thoughts and no negative talks about the companions of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khulafa ar-Rashidun, or the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I believe this was a very powerful message that was sent to Muslims all over the world, and those who were assembled there were called upon to deliver this message to their constituencies in different parts of the world, so that we can begin to bring Muslims together onto a common platform to confront imperialism and Zionism, rather than dissipating our energies in fighting amongst ourselves. On this 35th anniversary celebration of the Islamic Revolution, I would like to urge all of you, please, to strive towards unity and to avoid the kinds of things that are going to divide Muslims. Because unity does not come simply by talking about it. Unity comes through action. And I'm absolutely convinced that those of you who are sitting there in Texas, listening to me at this time, that you are sincere in your efforts, that you want unity among Muslims. And therefore, it is incumbent upon all of us, whether we come from the Sunni background or people come from the Shia background, that we have to strive together to bring about Muslim unity. And the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Islamic Revolution in Iran offer us those noble examples to bring about this unity. Once again, I congratulate all of you on the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And I pray to Allah to not only save and preserve this revolution, but to enable Muslims elsewhere to bring about similar revolutions in their societies, so that Muslims can march forward confidently towards the liberation of not only Masjid al-Aqsa, but also Makkah and Medina from the clutches of the agents of imperialism and Zionism. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.